Romans 9. You have the first eight chapters of Romans, and he concludes us all under sin, both Jew and Gentile, and then shows the power of the gospel in relation to our salvation and our ultimate salvation, and the ultimate salvation of our complete spirit, soul, and body through the forbearance of God, and it's wonderful. Romans 1 through 8 is wonderful. And then when he gets to Romans 9, he deals with an issue that, of course, would be huge because the early church was made up of a lot of converted Jews. And, of course, all the apostles were Hebrews. And so it was the question of Israel. And he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So the question of Israel, specifically in relation to the gospel, comes up. And we want to remember that a lot would have been known about Israel among those that had been raised in the synagogue and had been taught, like Paul, at the feet of Gamaliel. And they would have known a lot. But Paul always gives the view that we are to have as the church and in this age. Okay, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians 2, the principle of the Antichrist, the man of sin. Well, that was talked about all throughout the Old Testament. It was obviously huge in the book of Daniel and alluded to in many other prophets. And then the Lord touched on it in the Gospels. But Paul gave us the view in relation to where we're at with the Antichrist and the man of sin and how that relates to the second advent and the rapture. So he gives us our perspective on it. And that's very important. And so Paul gives us our perspective, the scriptural perspective on Israel and where they are at with the Lord. He says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. And that is in answer to verse 3 where he says, I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. In chapter 10, verse 1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so as a nation, they are not converted. As a nation, they are not saved. And so, but Paul says this, he says, but the word of God has taken some effect, specifically in relation to the gospel. And you want to see that. Look what it says in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And you could plug that into a lot of religious people. There's Hindus, there's Mormons, there's Catholics, there's Buddhists, right? There's Muslims. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, right? Which is why Paul speaks about the light of the knowledge of God in the gospel, right? It's important. Okay, but he says they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Okay, that'd be the righteousness. You could say the righteousness of the law, but by this point, it's Israel's corruption of the law. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, he goes down and he says this in verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? We'll teach all this when we get there, that is to bring down Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But verse 8, but what saith it? The what? The word is nigh thee. Even and so, not as though the word of God. And as Paul does a lot in the book of Romans, we showed you this in chapter 1, we showed you this in chapter 2, we showed you this in chapters 3 and chapter 4, he will introduce something and then he'll give additional information. He'll make a statement, right? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then he goes on to talk about it, right? And so he says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. And he tells you what that word is, right? It's the word of faith. He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, and we know that since the gospel has been revealed, that's the word of faith, the gospel of the grace of God, salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. We understand that. But even in the Old Testament, we know that the just shall live by his faith. And Israel's problem was always believing what God said. Right? Always. That was always their problem. What does he say in Hebrews? They sought it not by faith, right? They fell short of it because of faith. So they've always had a problem with believing what God said. Okay, he says, it's the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And you know, when we think about the purposes of God, the sovereignty of God, whatever you want to say, it's amazing that Israel has the truth of God imprinted in their hearts. It's in their DNA, right? The desire to go back to Jerusalem, right? The need for a Messiah, right? These are put in them. They're putting them by God Almighty. And he says, verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, he says a little further, he says, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. And, you know, by the way, that's any gospel that's ever been put to them. Right? There was a gospel preached to Abraham. There was a gospel preached to them that would have brought them into the promised land. Hey, have faith. Let's go in. We can take them. Right? They've always had a problem with that. All right? Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, here it is again, by the what? By the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yeah, they've heard. And he talks about this in Romans 1 and Romans 2. They've heard. People have heard. We talked about that when we taught chapter 1 and chapter 2, that God, through creation, through conscience, and through the prophets, right? Through the word that he delivered unto those early elders, they had the word of God. And he says this, he says, yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Yeah, Israel knew. And so go back here to Romans chapter 9. So he says, so the word of God, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. That is, the word of God has taken some effect. Okay? When you read, I mean, if you read from Genesis to Malachi, when you get to, even when you get into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what is your question? What would your question be if you're paying attention? What is God doing with Israel? What is God doing with Israel? What is God doing with Israel? Now, the purpose of God was always to save the Gentiles. Always. That's not a mystery revealed to Paul. The mystery was that the Gentiles would be saved outside of a converted Israel. That was the mystery. But it was never, never a mystery that the Gentiles would be saved, right? What did the Lord say to Abraham? In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. I'll bless them that bless thee. Why did he call out Israel with the law? Ye shall be a kingdom of priests. I'll set thee on high above the nations in the earth. Why? That all the nations may know that I'm the Lord. That was the purpose of him calling out Israel, was to ultimately save everybody. For God so loved the world. So this was never a thing where it was just Israel, but yet they are the focus. They're for sure the focus. That's where the attention is, right? To them is committed the oracles of God. So where are we at here? Where are we at? Well, he says the word of God has taken some effect. Now, just to wrap up last week and notice a couple points. He says in Romans 9, 4 and 5, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. So God made covenants with and promises to the nation of Israel, specifically to them, Israel after the flesh. But Israel is not saved today, right? And we learned last week that he's providentially preserving them as a people so that one day he can save them when they turn to him, right? 2 Corinthians, he says that, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, they'll be saved. Okay, and so right now God is in the business of preserving that nation and not keeping them from being wiped out. And we know that. Now, in addition to that, as in general, the nation has been granted blindness. Look at Romans 11. Look at Romans 11. All right. So you know what you want to do then? You want to get on God's side on things. That's what you want to do, right? It doesn't really matter what you think about Israel. God, for good, bad, right or wrong that that nation is doing or is involved in, God will not allow them to be wiped out. That's just why? Because God cannot lie. We'll see that in a second here, right? And so that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. And I don't care what your favorite podcaster says. Man, they don't care what I say either, but you know, but look at Romans, where did I say go? Romans 11, look at verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, righteousness, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So some Israelites are saved now. So God has not completely forsaken them, even spiritually. They can get saved. You know, I think there's plenty of people in this world that have Jewish blood that don't even know they have Jewish blood. I was talking to Blair the other day, and I'm like, you know what? I think so-and-so's a Jew. There's no way he's not. And his last name's the most not Jewish name, but I guarantee it. There's just no way he's not. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, but the Lord knows. He said the very hairs of your head are numbered. Man, he's got everyone's DNA. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now, see, God hath, look at that. He said, God, the rest were blinded and God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Now, you know what, and this is important, right? Look at Acts 28. Because this lingo, there's two you know, Romans 9 can be a real rodeo. And there's two big theological problems that people get out of Romans 9. The one is that the church becomes Israel, right? Or replaces Israel, right? We know that the church glorifies God, right? Instead of Israel right now. But the church does not assume Israel's promises other than the spiritual promises that everyone is entitled to. Right? But that, and of course there's a lot of Calvinism. Well, I say there's Calvinism. Calvinism is read into Romans 9. It's not in there at all. Right? Both of those systems, right? The pan, post, awe, whatever, covenant theology mindset, and Calvinism are all philosophical systems that seek to explain things about the Bible. Right? And look at Acts chapter 28. Look at Acts chapter 28, and look at verse, look what it says here in verse, this is when Paul, one last time, meeting with those Jews over there in Rome, trying to give them the gospel, right? And they opposed themselves and argued with them, verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, right? He says, verse 25, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and saying, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Now look, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Now look what it says, and their eyes have who? They closed, right? You got to always get that, right? You always get their eye. They closed their eyes. They chose not to see, and then God allowed them to be blinded. Right? And you know, God will give you the desires of your heart. And God will allow you to go the way you want to go. With the froward, you'll show yourself froward. But you have to understand that God didn't blind them in the sense that he's not allowing some people to be saved that would like to be saved. Right? They first rejected the truth. Right? You know, it's just, you know, and, you know, part of this is just understanding English, but you could say this. You should say, man, I was looking for my knife out in the field, but it was hidden. It was hidden from me. That doesn't mean that a little green man took it and hid it from me. Right? In the passive sense, right? It was hidden from me. Right? That doesn't mean somebody hid it. It's just hidden from my view. Right? And so, right, we don't want to take that as that now God allowed them to be blinded, but it was their choice initially. And the reason that's important is because the same thing happens with Pharaoh, right, later on in this passage. And we want to see that. But now look at 2 Corinthians here. Look at 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and why did I say 2? Yeah, it's 2 Corinthians. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why. That's me, not you. All right. All right. And look what it says here, speaking of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul says we're able ministers of the Old New Testament, verse 6. And he says about Israel, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So Israel is blinded to their Messiah when they read their Old Testament. So when we look at Isaiah, what's that? 3. What did I say? Did I not say? Don't you know where it is? All right. Sorry. Yeah. Well, it's not 15. All right. All right. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it, that's their heart, shall turn to the Lord, it shall be taken away. So in the future, Israel's heart is going to turn to the Lord. Right? It's not toward the Lord right now. It's going to turn to the Lord. It's going to. That's a different subject. There's going to be a revival of interest in true Old Testament orthodoxy, and they're going to see the Lord in that. But and there's going to be a sign, but that's not what we're talking about. But right now, he's granted them blindness. Now go back here to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And look what he says here. So Israel will be saved, and that's where we ended last week. And this is important, right? Because you got to get this. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, Solomon said, right? And when we're in Romans 6, 7, and 8, we see a Christian going through, you know, this oh, wretched man that I am, and the good that I would, that I do not. But when we get to the end of Romans 8, we see that God, right, has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And we can't be separated from the love of God. And Israel kind of follows that same pattern. And when you go to the end of Romans 11, look at Romans 11 really quick. He says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my, what's the word? Covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now look what he said. This is a wonderful verse. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. Amen. God's not going to take that away. He called Israel, right? He gave them things, and he promised them things, and he's not going to change his mind about that. He's not going to turn away from that, just like he won't with you, right? Even in their wretched condition spiritually today, the gifts and calling of God are there. You see that in a person's life, right? I know guys that are preachers that backslide and get out of the ministry, and they can still preach. It's just a gifted speaker. Gifts and calling of God are without repentance, man. That's a wild thing to think about, right? And so he gave Israel some things, and he's going to see it through. Look what he says in verse 30. We'll look at this later. But look at verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So he ends chapter 11 in the same way that he ends chapter 8, talking about the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, the greatness of God, and praising God for accomplishing what he said he would. All right, so they follow that same pattern. Okay, now, God cannot lie. Now, go back here to Romans 9, and this is important. He said, this is my covenant that I make. So now, you got to notice that. He says he'll make a covenant with them. Why is that important? Look at Romans 9 again, and look at verse. Now, it's funny, I'm thinking about Mr. and Mrs. Potter. When you left here, we were in Hebrews. We were in Hebrews for a long time. And then when you came back, I just got through the fun part of Romans, and now I'm back talking about stuff that's in Hebrews. So I'm sorry if it's heavy, but I mean, we did have like some really great, simple lessons, all right? All right, but it's just funny to me. Yeah, I'm glad you're back, all right? But he says in verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the what? The covenants. The covenants pertain to Israel. They pertain to Israel. And that's who God made them with. Now, there's covenants prior to that, people that are in the line of Israel, but the Abrahamic covenant, but mainly the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, those apply to Israel, right? And they pertain to Israel. There are covenants that God made with Israel. Now, why is this important? Well, in understanding that God hath not cast away his people completely, he says, this is my covenant that I'll make with them when I shall take away their sins. And he points to a future time. Why is that important? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 10. That new covenant, and we're not going to go back over and teach this because we were in it for a long time, but that new covenant is made with the nation of Israel. It was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah. Okay? But look at Hebrews chapter 10. You want to look at the verses. If you're not seeing it in the Bible, you're not going to get as much. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10, and look what he says here in verse 12. He says this. He says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." When did that happen? Someone answer me. When did that happen? When he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Oh, Calvary. Good. Okay, that wasn't a trick question. All right. 14, "For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified." Right? Whereof, now look at this. "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before," look at this, "this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin." We understand that Jesus Christ, when he died for sin and for sins, he did away with those. We didn't need those Old Testament sacrifices anymore, right? And he died. He died for the sins of Israel, and he died for our sins as well, right? But there were many things that happened when he died and rose from the dead. And one of those things was he shed that blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many. But one of the things that New Testament did, that blood did, is it ratified, right? Or it testified to the new covenant that he was to make with Israel, where he would put his law into their hearts and into their minds. Now, he did that at Calvary 2,000 years ago. But notice what Paul says. He says, "This is my covenant when." You understand that? So Christ shed his blood for that new covenant. But that covenant, right, the other part hasn't come to the table yet, being Israel. Christ provided for that covenant to be instituted, but it hasn't taken place yet. So you have Hebrews here, and the mistake is to say that new covenant was instituted for the church. It was not in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Paul doesn't put us into the new the covenant at all. In all of his epistles, all he talks about is those covenants. They're always in relation to Israel. He doesn't even really hit on them until he gets to the book of Hebrews, which is written to the Hebrews. However, when he shed his blood to ratify or institute that new covenant, right, there was something else that happened. The Bible says that where a testament is, there must be the death of the testator, right? And so the blood of the testament, it testified to that covenant. And the nifty little trick that the covenant, and this is just, I know this is kind of heavy, but some of you deal with this. The nifty little trick that the covenant theologians pull is they'll just make testament and covenant the same thing, and they are not the same thing. As a Christian, you are under the New Testament, because Christ said, "This is the New Testament in my what? Blood," right? And you are on, you get in on the blood of Christ, and Jews get in on the blood of Christ. Everybody gets in on the blood of the New Testament, but not everybody gets in on the covenant. The covenant is made with Israel. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John. Chapter 2. It's very important. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2. And this is how he words it. And I love this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Right? His sacrifice satisfied the demands of a holy God. Now look what he says. And not for ours only. Not for ours only, but for what? The sins of the whole world. Right? Those disciples might have been sitting at that table thinking, well, this is what God, Christ is doing for us. They didn't actually know what he was doing. But you might think that this was, that Israel might think that that blood that was shed early on in the church, they might think that that blood was shed possibly just for them, right? And that he was the Lamb of God that replaced those Old Testament sacrifices. But it was for the sins of the whole world. It was for everyone, right? And so Christ came, yes, he came to set up that new covenant with Israel, right? But everyone got in on the blessings of the covenant. And there's a big difference between God making a covenant with you and you getting in on the blessings of the covenant, right? Now, here's an example. He made a covenant with Abraham. Did he not? He said, unto thy seed I will give this land. Okay. But he said something else. He said, and I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. But then he says in Genesis 22, he says this. He says, in thee, in thy seed, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Right? So in the blessings of that covenant is that through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. Now, who is that seed? Look at Galatians chapter 4. We'll get out of here in a second. Or look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I don't want to say too much more about this, but I already said a lot. Yeah, well, there's a lot more to say. But look at Galatians chapter 3. Right? And notice this. And this is how the Lord has set it up. You know how the Lord has set it up? The Lord has set it up so that Israel cannot realize the full extent of those covenants without Christ. It's impossible. Right? What does he say in 2 Corinthians? In him, that's Christ, all the promises of God are yea and amen. Right? And so Israel, the ultimately saved, will have to come to Christ to get into that new covenant. Right? In fact, Israel, to even be considered that new nation, that righteous nation, will have to first be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Right? And so all of these things converge in Christ, all of them. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and look at what he says in verse 6. He says this, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God made a covenant with Abraham, made them a special people. Their seed would be as the stars of the sky, right? They would get that land of Israel. But in addition to that, there were blessings or promises attached to that covenant, right? And this part of the covenant, in fact, all parts of the covenant, but this part of the covenant was fulfilled specifically in Christ. In thee shall all nations... Look what he says. I'll show you that. Go a little further. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham. What's the blessing of Abraham? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the blessing he's talking about. You know what Abraham's blessing was? Is that he received what he got by grace through faith. That's the blessing of Abraham. The Lord took him out and said, look at those stars. He said, you're going to have that many kids. And he says, well, okay. Cool. And the Lord said, I'm going to count that to you for righteousness. Right? That's the blessing of Abraham. Abraham received that imputed righteousness by grace through faith. That's a blessing that's particular to Abraham's covenant, right? And that promise, in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, is related to that blessing. That we receive that same blessing by grace through faith. Look what he says here in verse 15, brethren, I speak after the man. Oh, I don't want to say that. Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is what? Which is Christ. So that's Genesis chapter 22, where he says that. Genesis 22, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So the Gentiles get in on the blessings of the covenant. Now go back here to Romans 9. That's important because that's where we end up at the end of the chapter. Okay? Look what he says here in verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the what? Of the Gentiles. So the Gentiles get in on these blessings. They get in on these blessings. Now I want you to go back here to Romans 9, and I want you to look at verse 6. For as though, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel. Now, this is it right here. This is it. This is where the fur hits the fan, right? This is where the excrement hits the oscillator, you know? They are not all Israel. And this verse has been abused more, you know, more than most of Paul's. Paul, and those of you that read, or those of you that say you read but actually watch reels and YouTube videos, you know about the not all Israel, right? And it's been taken to mean a lot of things. It's been taken to mean a lot of things, right? It's been taken to mean that not all professing Hebrews are real Hebrews. Right? Meaning that the Jews that are in Israel today are not the real Jews. Anybody heard that? Sure. Tucker Carlson, I think, said that recently. I like Tucker, actually. But when it comes to the Bible, he doesn't know his intake from his exhaust. He doesn't. Right? And I really like Tucker, and I think he's a pretty bold guy. But here's the deal. That might be true. I don't know. Does anybody know the specific haplogroup DNA of the Jews that were in Palestine in 1000 BC? No. Who does know? God. And if God said this 2,000 years ago, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And even at that time, there were Hebrews that weren't really Hebrews. He still treats them as if they are. Right? So it has no practical value for us, right? You know what a person is trying to do? They're trying to find a way to excuse themselves from believing and obeying the word of God, right? And so that's one of the interpretations. But it doesn't fit the context at all, because he tells you that Israelites after the flesh in verses 4 and 5, to them pertain the covenants and the promises. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, other things have been said, right? That not all fleshly Israelites are part of true Israel. And by true Israel, they mean the church. They mean the church. The problem is that Israel is not the church, and it never will be. It never will be. Israel's not the church, and the church is not Israel. Okay? And Israel in the passage, every time it's mentioned, is a physical nation. Every single time. All right? Now, it's been taken this way, that not all Israelites are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now, that's true. That is true, right? That's very true. That's very clear in the Bible, right? In fact, everybody that's saved walks in the steps of faithful Abraham. Abraham, that promise to Abraham of justifying the heathen through faith went through Christ. You're in Christ, so that makes you a spiritual child of Abraham. Right? Not the physical seed of Israel, but a spiritual child of Abraham. And listen, not all Jews are spiritual seeds of Abraham. In fact, the Lord said in John 8, he said, you're of your father the devil. He says, if Abraham were your father, you'd believe. Right? So that's a true concept. I don't think that's what he's saying here, but that is true. That is true. Now, very simply, being in the physical line does not guarantee everything. Very simply. That's what he's saying here, because keep reading. And that's it's always good to keep reading. Amen? That's why I keep bouncing ahead. You're like, well, why don't you, I'm trying to just show you what he's kind of laying out here. Not as though the word of God had taken an effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. Now, do we know that's true? Yeah. All right. So God's promises, verses 6 through 13, they're evident in historical precedent. And what is he saying here? He's saying, look, there are Jews today that are saved, and there are Jews today that are lost, and this isn't the first time that this has happened. All right, it's happened before. So you're upset because not all of your Jewish family is saved, and so am I. But this isn't the first time it's happened. This has been going on a long time. Okay, Abraham had to look at his son. I'm sure he loved Ishmael. Right, Sarah didn't. You know, she was a real treat. You know, real prize. You know what I'm saying? But you know he loved Ishmael. But yet, what did the Lord say to him? Take now thy son, thine only son. Well, that's not literally true. Abraham had other children, but God, he only had one son that God recognized as the seed to bring about Christ and the heir. Thine only son. An only son. And so Abraham had many other children. In fact, later on, you know, he, you know, it's like Sarah was dead, you know, and he found Keturah and had a bunch of kids and sent them away, you know, and they went all over the Middle East and they're still there, you know. Billionaires now. Everyone, you know, live golf, you know. but buying everything. And including they bought us a jet. Thank you. Air Force One or whatever it was. Thank you very much. Seed of Abraham. That's what he said. In these shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Amen? but he only had one son that mattered as far as these promises went. Okay? And as far as Jews being saved and obeying the gospel, they don't all believe the gospel. Some do and some don't, right? They don't all receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. They don't. Right? And I think it's somewhat meant as an encouragement here, actually, right? In a sense that this has always been true. This has always been true. He says, you know this is true because it's happened before. Look what he says. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither. Now, neither can either mean in addition to, or it can mean like contrasting or opposite. So you could say like, thou hast neither part nor lot, neither lot in this matter, right? Those are two of the same thing. Right, I have neither gold nor silver, right? Those are similar things. Or you could say something like, I'm neither rich nor poor, right? Those are opposite, right? So neither can be used both ways, okay? But it could mean an additionally, or it could just mean opposite. And either way will work here, and I'll show you that. But look what he says. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. And there's much, much there with the law. Israel's trying to keep the law after the flesh, right? These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So just because you're an Israelite doesn't make you a child of God. It's very simple. Right? Look at Galatians 3. Right? And it would be, that was the whole argument in John 8. We be Abraham's seed. Right? So what did they think? They didn't, why would I need to be born again? Nicodemus rolls up to Christ. We know you're a teacher come from God, right? And let me say that me telling you you're a teacher coming from God as a Pharisee should make you feel good about yourself. Right? And Christ said, except a man be what?
Born again.
First birth doesn't matter. That is very hard for a Jew to wrap his head around. That his first birth doesn't matter, right? But being born, listen, there's all sorts of promises associated with being a Jew, right? But being a child of God isn't one of them. Israel is God's son nationally, not individually. Okay, is this making sense? This isn't, I feel like this is important because of the day and age we live in. First of all, the way doctrine's going in the church. Second of all, because Israel's always in the news, the Christian should have the right perspective. And by the way, ultimately, the Christian's perspective is you should love your neighbor. That's what the Christian's perspective is. Amen. And we should pray for people. Amen. But treat people charitably. Amen. Where did I say go? Galatians 3. You still with me? Is everybody all right? Because I'm good. I can go for a long time. I've been all day sitting by the window waiting for you to get here. Woo, they're here. Let's go. You know, Galatians 3. I've been up there eating goldfish in the nursery. Galatians chapter 3. You know, Galatians 3. Look what he says here. He says, verse 26, for you're all the children of God by what? Simple enough, isn't it? How do you get to be a child of God? By faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. You're not born a child of God. You know, the old, we are all God's children. I wish that were true. We're all God's offspring. We're not all God's children. You have to trust Christ, right? Now, are you still following me? Go back here. I want to show you a couple more things here. We didn't get very far. Oh, well. Okay, that's all right. I'll show you something. Look at Genesis 17. This has always been the case, and I think that's what Paul's saying here, right? Why? Because there's not unrighteousness with God. There's not unrighteousness with God. God keeps his promises. Okay, look at Genesis 17. And once again, if he keeps them to them, he's going to keep them to you. Amen. You realize that these people that he's talking about right here put his son on the cross, and he says, all Israel shall be saved. Right? Because God has got some integrity like we don't even understand. And that's always the thing we ought to remember about the book of Romans, right? And so he's going to keep his promises to you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll send you another comforter and abide with you forever. Amen? Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Genesis 17, look at this. Look at verse 9. God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep. This had to be so weird. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be run a mile. Every man child among you shall do 300 push-ups before they're considered a Jew. Nope. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, right? Another subject, but this was the covenant. Okay, now look what he says. Look what he says in verse 14. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, look what he says. That soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Understand that you could be born a Hebrew, and if you didn't go through that ritual, right, you weren't considered a true Israelite. Right? So historically, you had Israelites that weren't Israelites. That's why the Lord said before they crossed Jordan into the land, hey, some of you aren't circumcised. You better get circumcised or I'm going to kill you. Right? That the angel of the Lord met Moses' son on the way to visit Pharaoh is going to kill him. And Zipporah took a piece of flint, man. Right? Right? She says, you're a bloody husband to me. This is what it's like being married to a Jew. Right? And yeah. And why? Because that you were cut off from your people. That was the conditions of that the covenant, right? That is that Abraham's covenant is unconditional. God will give the nation of Israel the land, but individually, it depends on the person. You've got to get that, right? Yes, God's covenant with Israel is unconditional. There will be Jews in the end that are saved and in the land. Right, but even way back here, he says that the ones that don't get circumcised, they're not a real Jew. They're not a real Israelite. Does that make sense? They are not all Israel that are of Israel. Okay? And we could talk a lot more about that, right? Paul says in Hebrews 3 about the howbeit not all they that came out of Egypt with Moses. All right, I'll show you this. Look at Leviticus 26. I'll show you another verse. Look at Leviticus 26. still with me? Ooh, we got to go. Yikes. A lot of stuff. That's all right. It's good stuff. Right. Everyone's like, shut up, Brother Newt. Brother Newt, be quiet, Brother Newt. Don't encourage him. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Look at verse 12. He says, I will walk among you. And he says, be your God, and ye shall what? Be my people. Be my people. If what? Well, he's talking about in the passage, he's talking about if they obey him, if they follow him. Look at John 1. One more. I'll show you one more. Look at John 1. Man, we didn't get as far as I wanted to, but that's all right. There's always next week. John 1. But don't let people mess you up on this stuff. Don't get messed up on this thing. Okay? John 1. And look what he says here when he sees Nathanael. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite. Then what's he say? Indeed. In whom is no guile. So there was this principle all throughout the Old Testament. That guy gets it. That guy gets it. That guy's circumcised in his heart, not just on the outside. Right? That's always been going on. Okay, now, that's enough of that. Let's go back here to Romans chapter 9 and just show you. The other thing you have to remember about this, and this is very, we're gonna stop here. I want to show you this, and then, but I want to end here, okay? I want to end here, okay? Is that, look at Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You need to see this. Okay. What'd I say? Did I say go to Ephesians 9, then go to Ephesians 2? Mr. Santangelo was saying something, wasn't he? He did. I act like I can't hear him. Ephesians chapter 2, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look what he says in verse 11. Wherefore, remember, he's writing to the Ephesians, right? Well, if anybody's a Gentile, it's an Ephesian. All right? Got the temple of Diana, the temple of Artemis, all that stuff. I mean, they're full-on Gentiles, man. Right? Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands. Made by hands. See? Children of the flesh as opposed to children of the spirit. That at that time you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, what's he say? Everything happens in Christ. It all happens in Christ, right? All of God's promises are fulfilled in one way or another in Christ. Whether it's the Edenic covenant, the Adamic, right, the Noahic, all of them, you have to go through Christ. And the reason Israel is not restored to their covenant relationship with God is they have stumbled at the stumbling stone that is Christ, right? So understand this. When you accept Christ, you do not appropriate or usurp Israel's covenant, right? You get in on the blessings of the covenant that are associated with it, right? But the only way for Israel to receive the blessings of their covenant is for them to get in Christ as well. Okay? Now, but look what he says now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now look what he says. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now look what he says. For to make in himself of twain, of two, one what? So making peace. One what? He does not say that he makes the Jews and the Gentiles into new Israel. They're not Israel. It's a new man. We do not become part of Israel. We become part of Jesus Christ's body. It's a new thing. It's a separate thing. That's what you got to get. You are in the body of Christ, right? Of course, we have spiritual connection to Israel, but it's one new man, and in that new man, and this is important, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. So when he says they are not all Israel that are of Israel, that's the other way you can look at it, right? That once an Israelite gets saved, right, their position with God is not now an Israelite after the flesh that has the covenants but is accursed from Christ. But when a Jew gets into Christ, they're not considered a Jew anymore. They're considered a child of God in the body of Christ. And there is no ethnic distinction in the body of Christ, nor religious distinction. Look what he says in Colossians 3:11. He says, where there is neither, speaking of the new man, verse 10, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ, free, but Christ is all and in all. Galatians 3:28, he says the same thing, right? 1 Corinthians 10:32, he gives you three groups. Give none offense to the Jew, lost Jews, the Gentile, lost Gentiles, or to the what? Right? So once you get saved, you're not technically a Gentile anymore. You're the church of God. Right? And once a Jew gets saved, they're not technically a Jew anymore. I know they like to think they are, and they like to come to church and give you a Passover presentation and tell you to keep the Sabbath. And that's all baloney. God bless them, but it's baloney. We're not under that anymore. We do not become Jews when we get saved. We do not become Israel, right? We're made of twain, one new man. That law doesn't have any dominion over us. We're delivered from that. But hey, the one that we have inside of us fulfilled everything in that law in our place, lived it in our place, and then nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. Okay, so in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. So you got to get that. Back here to, I didn't get very far tonight, and I normally like to get a long lot further than that. But that's the way it goes. Go back to Romans 9. 10 after? 10 after? Yeah, okay. We're going to let her go there. We're going to let her go there. Here endeth the lesson, Mr. Connery. All right. Let's see. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I want to let you get out of here tonight before it gets too late. Okay. Brother Hans, why don't you close us in prayer?